worshiping Him and thanking Him. I know there are some of you, perhaps many of you, who do not have a history of being Southern Baptist, and you don't know what some of these things are, like WMU. What in the world is WMU? That is a Women's Missionary Union, all right? That's the missions portion of the women's ministry, and they do a great, great job, as you've heard this morning. I want to share also with you, not to take a lot of time, but our long-range planning team is saddling up again tomorrow night, the Long Rangers. And they're going to meet at 6 o'clock here in the conference room. By the way, Long Rangers, supper is provided, a sandwich is provided. But we're going to pick back up where we left off back in June. We've taken the summer off, and we're picking back up. And all that was spoken of this morning about missions, that's really what long-range planning is, because the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a mission, and that's to go into all the world. We're to teach, we're to tell, we're to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're to win others to Christ, and then we're to baptize, we're to teach them. And that's what we're all about. Matter of fact, if you look inside your bulletin on the front page underneath the order of service, you'll see our vision statement there. And that vision statement basically says this, it comes from the book of Malachi, that we want to see God's name become great among all the nations. That's all the world. For the Lord told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're going to do that, and here's our mission. We're going to do that by serving God, engaging the community, and growing together in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you pray for this team as they begin meeting again tomorrow night. Now, I've been preaching a series on God's mercy, and I'm going to continue in that today in the next couple of weeks as well. We've defined mercy as this. Mercy is undeserved kindness and unearned forgiveness. Undeserved kindness and unearned forgiveness. Let me read to you, since mercy is the number one attribute of God that's mentioned more than any other attribute in all the Bible, I'm going to read just a few verses to you this morning, all right? Psalm 23. Most of us, if not all of us, know Psalm 23. Verse 6 says that, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 106:1, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Psalm 107:1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Psalm 118, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let Israel," and whenever I see Israel, I think of the people of God. That's me and you today, all right? "For His people now say, His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear, who love the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. Let Five Forks Baptist Church say, His mercy endures forever." Psalm 136, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever." And then Psalm 138, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever." But now let's get a little personal. Paul says this. Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ, had a personal experience with Him, changed Paul's life forever. This is what he wrote to his spiritual son Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 14. "I thank Him, God, who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service, appointing me to the ministry. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor of the church of Christ. I was insolent, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Jesus said this about those who are merciful. "Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who show mercy. Why? for they'll receive mercy. Let me share with you, we've received mercy. God has had mercy on us. God has given us forgiveness that we haven't earned through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know what God expects now? He expects you and I to give others mercy. Have you given anybody mercy this past week? Have you been merciful to anyone this past week? Can I share something with you? Here's a mission. It's a personal mission. Now, where does this begin? Well, it can be at school, it could be at work, it could be at church, it could be at any number of places. Number one place to begin is your home and your family. Mercy poured out. Pour mercy out to your family. The sad fact is, have you found that to be the hardest place of all to give mercy? Sometimes. Have you found that to be true? With the people you live with all the time. In fact, we're harder on ourselves, we're harder on our spouses, we're harder on our children than we are with total strangers. Have you found that to be true? Have you noticed that? You could be in a major argument in your home. You and your spouse, you and your kids, you're going at it, man. Voices are raised, you're shouting, it's a knockdown, drag out fight. The phone rings, you go over and say, "Hello." Why is that? What just happened? You can control your anger for a total stranger, but you can't with somebody you're having conflict with. All right, in your bulletin, I'd like for you to turn to the back page under sermon notes, okay? We've got a pop quiz this morning. Five questions, and I'm going to give you the choice. There's two choices for all the questions, but one, okay? You may think that you're a very loving person, all right? This sermon doesn't pertain to you. Let's take this little quiz, okay? On the back of the bulletin. Number one, when my spouse or my sibling or another family member gets some detail wrong when they're telling the story, do I interrupt them and correct them publicly? Or B, do I say nothing and let it go knowing I've done the same thing? A or B, do I correct them or do I let it go? Now you can't cheat on this. God's watching you, okay? You just need to admit it, all right? It's more likely you're interrupting them and calling them down publicly. Number two, when my spouse or my sibling or another family member keeps making the same mistake over and over and over, do I A, become irritated and angry at them? Or B, do I graciously forgive them and pray for them? You're two for two so far, okay? Number three, here's a good one for the youth, for the young people. When my spouse or my sibling, that's your brother or sister, okay, or another family member is getting more attention than I think they deserve, do I, A, feel resentful and feel the need to bring them down a notch? Or do I celebrate with them? A or B? Do I get resentful or do I celebrate? Some of you are lying through your teeth right now. You better. He wants to move before a lightning hits him. Number four. Out of five, when my spouse or sibling or another family member says or does something that I don't understand, do I assume they have the best motivation for doing it? Or do I question their motivation and think the worst about them? You know, we don't even know our own motivation most of the time, so how can we know somebody else's, right? Okay, A or B. Last one, five. You just need to write yes or no beside this last question, all right? Am I more polite with strangers or with my own family? Am I more polite with strangers or with my own family? You're ready for the sermon now, aren't you? All right. Maybe I need to work on this thing called mercy with my family, all right? Mercy is love in action. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not a behavior. Mercy is a choice. It's a choice that we make. It's a decision. It's something that we choose to do. Let me remind you what all this is about. God has been merciful to every one of us in here. He's merciful to us every moment of every day. God chose to love you. He's chosen to love me. He's chosen to be merciful to us. Whatever is true about love is also true about mercy, okay? 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to be dwelling there today. Verses 4 through 8. This is called the love chapter. We're going to call it the mercy chapter today, okay? It gives 15 characteristics of what real love is all about. Don't get upset. I'm not going to go over all 15. We're just going to look at four of them here today. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It is not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. That's what real love is all about. That's God's love. That's the love He's poured out into our hearts through Jesus Christ. Now, we're just going to look at four of these, as I've said. Four of these marks of love today. Number one, here's the first one. We need real love, mercy. Mercy overlooks irritations and offenses. Okay? Mercy overlooks irritations and offenses. In other words, ignoring, not even paying attention to the irritations, the offensive. You're going to have irritations in life. Nobody has good days every day. Many marriages, many families, there's all these little digs and irritations and offenses. Yet the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, love is not irritable. Love is not resentful. Love, in other words, is not easily angered. Now, angered, I believe, is the most understood human emotion. I believe it's also the most mismanaged of all emotions that we have. Anger is not necessarily a sin. Sometimes anger is the appropriate response. Sometimes it's inappropriate, all right? There's a good kind of anger. There's a bad kind of anger. There's a righteous kind of anger. There's an unrighteous kind of anger. There's a selfish kind of anger. There's an unselfish kind of anger that's based out of love and of mercy. It's not anger that's wrong so much. It's why we're angry. And how long we stay angry. Long anger turns into resentment. Long anger turns into bitterness. That's always a sin against God. But anger is a capacity that God has given to us. When we see Rachel prejudiced, when we see bigotry, we ought to get angry. When we see injustice and unfairness, we ought to get angry. When we hear about a woman being raped or a child being abused, we ought to get angry. When we hear about Christians who are being beheaded by radical people in other parts of the world, we ought to get angry. Anger is a part of human life, and some things are worth getting angry about. You hurt my granddaughter, guess what? I'm going to get angry about it. Anger is a God-given capacity, but we've got to learn to control it and use it wisely. This is practical Christianity. This is what God has commanded you and I to do. The real problem is that a lot of us think that we don't get angry because we stuff it. We hold it inside. But that's just as inappropriate as expressing it incorrectly. There are two ways to get angry, I believe. One is to blow up and the other is to clam up. And both of them are inappropriate. In life, let's put this in a way, different way. Everybody is either a skunk or a turtle, okay? What do skunks do? Skunks, when they get upset, when they get angry, they let everybody know it. They'll stink up the whole place, won't they? Everybody knows they're angry. Guess what a turtle does? He just pulls into a shell, right? Now, here's an interesting thing. It's what I've seen in my years of ministry, okay? I've discovered that skunks always marry turtles and vice versa, all right? Probably in your marriage, one of you blows up and one of you clams up, okay? Count on it. Neither one is righteous. Neither is more sinful than the other, okay? They're just inappropriate ways of dealing with anger. The Bible says, God's Word says, love, mercy is not irritable, it's not easily angered. So what's the antidote to harmful anger? How do you cure that? Love and mercy. Love and mercy. The more we experience God's love, the more we experience God's mercy, the more we're going to show God's love and God's mercy to somebody else. Love is not irritable. It's not easily angered. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense, let's put quotation marks here, wisdom. Good sense, wisdom, okay? Makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. People who don't get offended at everything, that just let it slide, that overlook irritations, overlook offensive, that's a mark of emotional maturity here. If you're always getting your feelings hurt, pardon me, you need to grow up, okay? That doesn't mean that's not a legitimate thing, that somebody hurt your feelings. They may have, all right? Maybe they did hurt you, but we need to learn how to overlook an offense, or we're going to be unhappy all of our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone else. I promise you, if you memorize that verse and you practice it for a year, you're going to be a whole lot happier. If everybody did that, we'd have better relationships, better marriages, better friendships. Look out for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Number two, be kind when they don't deserve it, but they need it, all right? I'm going to add that. Be kind when they don't deserve it, but they need it. This is what the Bible is saying. And every family we have what I like to call VDPs, all right? Very draining people. Don't turn and look at the one next to you, whatever, okay? Don't look around, all right? Very draining people. These are difficult people. They're hard to work with. They're irresponsible. They're demanding. They're pushy. They're self-centered. They're aggressive. They're manipulative. They're often rude. They hurt everybody. They break their promises. You can't depend on them. Boy, that's a lot, isn't it? How do you deal with VDPs, with these kind of people? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, love is patient and is kind. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's love. That's mercy. It's supportive. Are you supportive of the people in your family and those around you, whether they deserve it or not? How can we be more supportive? Again, Psalm 19:11. Good sense. Wisdom will make one slow to anger. If you have wisdom, you can look into somebody's life. Maybe you'll get to understand why they're acting the way that they are, and we'll be a lot more patient with them. Bible says in Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those with whom it is due. There are a lot of people in our lives, particularly in our families, they don't always deserve our kindness, do they? They don't deserve mercy. They haven't been kind to us. But we give them not what they deserve, but what they need. Which, by the way, is what God does with you and I every day. God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. Again, that's called mercy. And when we're being merciful, when we're giving kindness to people, when they need kindness, even though they've been rude to us, even though they've been mean, they don't deserve it because they've been rude. They don't deserve it because they've had a bad day and they've come home and they're taking out everything that happened at work on me. We're kind to them anyway. The Bible says that's called mercy. Mercy doesn't say, well, do you deserve it? Was it your fault? No, we just help them. Which, by the way, is what God, as I said, does with you and I. Proverbs 19:22, what is desired in a man is steadfast love, that is kindness. What that verse is saying is kindness will make a person attractive. So forget the Botox, okay? Forget all of that. Just be nice and you'll be more attractive. If you're a kind person, you're going to be more attractive. That's why I'm so good looking. One fan. You know what kindness will do? It'll make other people be kind back to you. It really will. The Bible says that over and over and over. You say, well, what about that family member that's never kind to me? 1 Thessalonians 5:15, once again. See to it that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Third item to do with mercy. Mercy lets go of past hurts. Mercy will let go of past hurts. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love, mercy, keeps no record of wrongs. Do you do that? When you and your spouse or your kids, you get into a little argument, and before you know it, you're reaching way back into the past, and you're getting these hand grenades, and you're pulling the pin, and you're throwing them back. Do you remember when? Do you remember when? Do you remember when? You're keeping all these mental records so that when they do something wrong, you're going to have the ammunition for it. You did this. You did that back then. The Bible says, don't do that. Love doesn't keep a record. Mercy doesn't keep a record. Mercy doesn't store up all those bad things so that we can pull them out as ammunition. Mercy keeps no record of wrongs. I heard a guy one time say, and you've probably heard this, I went home last night, my wife, she gave me an earful, man. She got historical. And his friend said, no, you mean she went hysterical. No, she told me everything I've ever done wrong. So let go of the past hurts. Love keeps no record. Mercy keeps no record of wrongs. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love is not rude. Mercy is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It doesn't hold grudges. Last one. Believe. Mercy believes that God is working in the lives of others. We've got to, we must believe that God is working even in that spouse, even in that child, even in that co-worker who's been so mean or irritable or rude or whatever, even when we don't see it, that God is working in that life. You must believe that God is working in the lives of our kids, even when you don't see it. You must believe that God is working in the lives of all your family members, even though you don't see it. We got to trust. We got to believe. Faith and mercy and love and grace, they all go together. The Bible says we got to trust God in this. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love, mercy, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, parentheses, perseveres. It perseveres. So how do you know if you're trusting God for your marriage? How do you know if you're trusting God for your family? How do you know if you're trusting God for those people you work with or whoever it may be? How do you know if you're putting your faith that mercy always trusts and mercy always believes? How do you know if you're trusting God for your marriage and your family? It's real simple. The answer to that one is, how much are you praying about them? How much are you praying about it? If you pray about your marriage and your family a lot, you're trusting God a lot. If you're not praying much, you're not trusting much. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 28, verse 2, hear the voice of my pleas for mercy. Hear the voice of my prayers for mercy. When I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Hear me when I pray, God. Regardless of the problem in your marriage or in your family or wherever, throw yourself on the mercy of God. Cast yourself on God's love and on God's mercy. Now, I don't know what crisis that you might have in your life or your marriage, or your home or job or whatever right now. Some of you may feel a little hopeless about that situation or that issue this morning. You need to turn to God's love. You need to turn to God's mercy. There's a guy in the Bible who did this. His name was Jeremiah. You read his book in the Old Testament, his life fell apart. But he didn't give up hope because he turned to the mercy of God. Let me read to you what he wrote in Lamentations. The name of that book itself says a lot, doesn't it? He's lamenting here, okay? It's sort of a downer kind of book. But listen to what he said in Lamentations 3, 20 through 23. Someone wrote a hymn about this. My soul constantly, it continually remembers the hard time he's speaking of here, okay? But I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great God is your faithfulness. Can you honestly look up to heaven today and say, God, how great is your faithfulness to me? Has God ever failed you? God never changes. He hasn't failed you in the past. He's not failing you now. He will not fail you in the future. You may have questions. You may die not having an answer to some of your questions. But I promise you, he's going to be faithful. That, my friends, is the source of hope. So now, there are four things that God expects us to do with our family, that God does with you and I every single day of our lives. Number one, God overlooks and forgives our mistakes and our sins, our offenses, all the things that we've done to offend him. He forgives that, okay? He overlooks and forgives them by his mercy. Number two, God is kind to every one of us when we don't deserve it. We need it, but we don't deserve it. Number three, God wipes out and forgets all the things we've done wrong when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wipes them out, he forgives them, and he forgets. Lastly, number four, God is working in our lives even when we don't feel like he's working in our lives, even when we don't feel his presence. He's working in our lives, in the lives of our family. Today, we need to accept the mercy of God. It's there for the taking. It may be that you've never accepted his mercy, that your sins, number one, they've never been forgiven. God wants to forgive you of your sins. You cannot enter into heaven unless your sins are forgiven. And so you need to believe that Jesus Christ is his son and he died and rose again. That is God's mercy. For all those of us who have received his mercy for salvation, as I've just explained, yet I still need his mercy every day, don't you? There are things that come up in my life, in my family, with relationships with others. I need not only his mercy, but I need to show mercy. I need to show his mercy. Who do you need to show mercy to today? Who is it in your life, in your family, at your work, or at your school, wherever it may be, you need to give a little mercy to? You need to give them some mercy. You need to give them some slack. Let's pray about that right now. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for your mercy. I thank you for that attribute, that characteristic that is yours, that, Lord, it's perfect, a perfect mercy, just like your love. It's perfect in all ways that you've poured out upon us. And, Lord, for your family, for Christians, you've poured into our hearts. Lord, forgive us when we keep it inside and don't allow it to flow through, that we don't give love and mercy to others. There's someone in all of our lives sitting in here today that, Lord, we need to give some mercy to. Father, I pray that you'll find us as faithful in giving them mercy as you have been to us. I pray for anyone who's not received your mercy or forgiveness of salvation, and Lord, for an entrance into heaven. I pray they'll make that decision today, God. So bless what is taking place in the pews as your Spirit, as your Holy Spirit works in our hearts and whispers in our mind, Lord, what we need to do. Bless this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.